28. One more message in the book of Acts after tonight, and then we will be seeking another passage in the Bible to spend some time in. You know, we say it quite a lot. Isn't God good? But God does ask us to go through situations, trials, things that we would prefer not to go through. And there may be, I'm sure there have been, I'll say this and you'll know just what I mean. There have been in your life and mine, there have been things that I was not looking forward to. Oh, to the contrary, things that I used to some things that I dreaded having to face. Now there's the possibility that you're dreading it because you got yourself in trouble. If that's it, you deserve what you got. But a lot of the times, we do what's right, and trials come into our life. That's what's happening to Paul. He has been, now I think of Paul as a man of faith, don't you? I do not think of him as a man that would worry. I don't want to label him that way tonight. I just know that he was facing something that was unknown. He did not know what was going to happen. I know he trusted God. I'd like to believe, and I do think it's safe to say he had perfect peace about this. But how would you feel if they put you on a ship and sent you to Rome to stand before Caesar, a godless man that hated Christians? Now you got to remember something. In much of Paul's ministry, and I don't have this right in front of me, but a lot of the time he spent in the ministry was during the reign of Nero. Oh, he was really a great guy. Nero was a man, for example, if you go to Rome, there's a section in Rome, if it's open, that you can visit. It's Nero's palace. He wanted to build his palace in a certain place, and there was already some other buildings there and things there. And so he just kind of sneakily built a fire and let that stuff all burn up. You've heard about him playing the fiddle while Rome burned. It wasn't quite that simple. But anyway, he just kind of set it all on fire, had his men go set it on fire and burn it down so he could put his palace there. And he was not the kind of man that regarded, you know, somebody else or God, or he certainly wasn't a Christian. And in fact, he persecuted the Christians. You know, we think about our government as being a questionable government that doesn't do what's right. Well, try living under Nero. Well, it wasn't so bad. Paul did a pretty good job under Nero, didn't he? So if Paul can serve God under Nero, we can serve God under whoever happens to be our leader. But he's on his way to be judged by an ungodly man. That's uncertain. As we come to the end of the book of Acts, the last message will be next Sunday night. And you wonder, what happened to Paul? How did his life end? And we really don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We believe through tradition that he died a martyr's death. A lot of men did. But at the end of the book of Acts, he's doing really well. I don't know why God chose not to tell us that, except maybe just to remind us it doesn't really matter how your life ends. The question is, how do you live your life? So tonight, we're going to look at Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 16. I've entitled the message, Deliverance from Dread, but what it really is just a little glimpse at the journey that you and I take, the journey that you and I take through life, which on occasion will come up against things that we are dreading. When I was in my 20s, I got the crazy idea that I wanted to go skydiving, and I did. I went out to this place. It was easy back then. It's impossible now. They skydive out here at the airport in Wickenburg, and it's expensive and it's time consuming, and you got to go through a whole bunch of stuff. And back when we did it, it was pretty easy. You took a class that cost $60. You paid $20 more. That was to rent the parachute and get the ride up, and you jumped out of the airplane same day. You're done, and you got to skydive. And after you did that with a static line, they called it 5 times. Then you got to jump without anything to open the parachute but you. And you had to reach and pull the ripcord and open the parachute. And I remember the first, I skydived about 12 or 13 times, and I broke my arm really badly and had to quit. And I remember when I would get up there and I would think, I don't want to jump, I don't want to jump, I don't want to jump. I hate this. Why am I here? I'm a fool. I'm paying money for this. I'm an idiot. And I'm in an airplane riding along, and there'd be a It'd be a jump master, somebody in charge. We were in a little tiny airplane. There'd probably be about six of us counting the pilot. And we're all going to jump one at a time. Sometimes they'd jump together, but we were jumping one or two at a time. And so anyway, the plane's flying along, and it's really loud. And the person that's in charge would point to you and say, go, okay? So now what you would do, you put your feet out of the door, and you look down, about 5,000 feet, and you reach over and you grab the strut, and you step out onto a step, and you let go, and you look down, and you let go, and you're falling. And I was scared to death. And then the parachute opens. And you think to yourself, this is the greatest feeling in the world. It's quiet. Everything's wonderful. You're floating down. Planes flying off. It's so quiet. You can't believe how quiet it is when you're away from all the sound. And all you can hear is the wind. And then here comes the ground. And you got to kind of pay attention to what you're doing, which I didn't one time and broke my arm. And land, and I want to do that again. And then you get back in the plane, it's the same thing. Oh, I'm scared to death. Folks, isn't it great when God delivers us? It's like a parachute opening. You know, you were dreading something. I've been there so many times. It's familiar territory. You're dreading something? Shame on us. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And you dread it. And then when it comes and you see what God did, you think, well, that wasn't so bad after all. And then another thing comes along, and you go, oh, I'm dreading this. That's just the way life is going to be. God's going to let us go through some things we're not looking forward to. But does he do things for no reason? No. So let's look and see what happens with Paul's journey here. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Acts chapter 28, verses 11 through 16, have a word of prayer, and look at a deliverance from dread to hope. Acts 28:11, the Bible says, after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren. And were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Let's pray. Father, tonight, as we stand here, we have things in our lives that are yet to happen, and some of them make us anxious. Some of them make us afraid. It's just a response that we have, and Lord, I know that when we have that response, we need to turn to you and trust you and cry out to you if that's what's necessary. But as we serve you, there are going to be times of difficulty. There are going to be times of trial. There are going to be times of opposition and of battle. And tonight, I pray you'd give us a little comfort, a little instruction about how to face those times and what to expect and how to have more faith in you. Help us to remember how Paul must have felt. He's not in control of his situation, but he's under the charge of the Roman government, and they're taking him where they want to and doing with him as they please. But the truth is, you're the one in control. Help us to remember that in our situation as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, a little bit about the journey here. He's been on the way to Rome now for quite a while. Of course, he's been through a shipwreck. He is accused. He is a prisoner. He has appealed to Caesar. And as one man said, unto Caesar thou shalt go. And so he's going to be allowed that because he's a Roman citizen. He knows there's going to be a trial of some unknown nature. He alludes to that in some of his writing to Timothy and so on. He anticipates prison. There is a prison in Rome today. It's not the entire thing. It's just what little tiny bit is left. It's called the Mamertine Prison. If you ever go to Rome, they're going to offer to let you go there. I don't think it's worth the money. I forgot what we had to pay. I think it was $10 a head or something to get in there. And they've got some steps to take you down. But in Paul's day, this Mamertine prison, at least one part of it, was a hole in the roof, and they would take the lid off the hole and lower you down in a rope. And there you are, and it's dark and it's cold, and you can hear water dripping, and it smelled bad, and there's no restroom facilities or way to clean yourself or anything. It's really a disgusting place, and not in our day when we went there. It was nice, but, you know, comparatively. But anyway, that's the kind of way they took care of their prisoners. They did not treat them very well. And Paul expected some imprisonment. That's not what happened, by the way. You saw that already. Not exactly the way I described, anyway. So he expects some things that are going to happen, doesn't know just what. The journey to Rome from Melita, or Malta, we talked about last week, is about 3 months. And they go, which is, from Malta, it's about 400 miles to Rome, about a 10-day journey. They go to a place called Syracuse, which is on the southeast corner of Sicily. Now, they were there 3 days, and they go to Regium. It's on the tip of the boot of Italy. That's about another day. Then they go to a place called Puteoli. It's in verse 13. It's just west of Naples. You know where Naples is today. Naples, you can drive from Rome to Naples in about, I don't know, an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 15, 20 minutes. It's south of Rome on the coast. From Naples, to get there was 7 days. And it's a little less than 100 miles from Rome. And then they went north on the road, and they traveled down that road to a place called Appii Forum, and the three taverns are still there today, marked on the road. And we drove by there one time. That's 39 miles from Rome. And then finally they get to Rome in verse 16. So it's the end of this journey that he's taking. I just want to see what happens along the way. God does some things along the way in our life, doesn't he? You know, let's just say you have some event coming up at the end of May. And it's a difficult event. I can remember in Maryland some of the things we were anticipating, court dates or, you know, things like that. And times when people threatened to, one guy threatened to sue us, and we had a kind of a deadline to meet. And so you're moving towards the deadline, and as you move along, folks, don't make this mistake. You'll see something down the road, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months, I don't know, and you get fixated on that and forget to live for God one day at a time. Let me turn that a little bit differently. You'll start worrying so much about what's coming that you won't just enjoy what God's doing today. Amen? God's going to do some great things tomorrow. He's going to be a blessing to you tomorrow. I'm not just saying that because it sounds good. The Bible says His mercy's new every morning. There'll be things God does tomorrow to strengthen you, encourage you. There's things He did today. We visited some folks last Tuesday night, and they came back to church this morning. That was an encouragement to me. Carlos, we pick up the children on the bus. We had 15 today. That was an encouragement to me. And the little things that God does day by day, folks, God just does things today and things tomorrow and things the next day. In fact, one of my favorite verses, Matthew 6:34, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough to deal with today. And you got to remember something. The verse right before that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God takes care of us. And don't be an idolater and trust in money or trust in circumstances or trust in yourself. Trust in God. So here we go. Here's this journey. And here's three things you're going to see along the way as you go down the road in your journey. First, back in verse 11, there are going to be, in your life, there will be pending trials. In other words, there will be some things down there that you're not looking forward to. Paul's going to have to be judged by Caesar. Maybe not looking forward to that. Better things could happen in your life than having to stand in front of a man that can have you killed and doesn't care for Christians. Pending trials in your life. That's okay, because we'll see what happens there. There are some things coming, and they're going to happen. They can be put off for a while, but they're going to happen. As the journey continues in verse 11, they're traveling, and as they get on this ship and they sail, here's one thing they know. Every mile is 1 mile closer to Rome, 1 mile closer to when Paul's going to stand before Caesar. But I'm going to just reiterate, just enjoy the miles one by one, and don't worry so much about what's going to happen later. Here's a thought. The Bible says God gives us strength for the day. And sometimes when you're in that zone of life, and again, we've all been there, where you're dreading something. Something difficult is about to happen, or something painful is coming, and there's no way you can avoid it, and it's going to be challenging. What you got to do is just remember this. Instead of thinking about that, thinking about that, thinking about that, thinking about that, just stop and say, you know, what's interesting is, when we were in Maryland and we were facing some really difficult things, I'd get up in the morning and I'd think, okay, wait a minute, let me think about this a minute. I got a place to live. I've got a church to serve in. The bills are paid. There's food on the table. There's clothes in the closet. Heat's on. Everything's fine. Just remember, right now everything's fine. Who made things fine right now? God. Yes. What about tomorrow? I don't know. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Just be content with what God's given you today. God delights in providing for us one day at a time. Why? So we can learn to trust Him. Do you trust Him? You know, today's a good day. We say, well, Pastor, what if we don't have enough money to do this? Or what if that happens? Or what if, you know, that's not today. Let's just be happy today. So as they take these journeys, you'll see some interesting things happen here in just a minute. They're on this travel, and on that path, there are some difficulties. There are some painful moments coming. But enjoy the day that you've got. You know, look out and the rail of the ship and watch the water go by and just realize God's taking good care of you right now. Amen. And tomorrow He can do the same thing. So in verse 11, they're in this island, and this ship had wintered there. And they had to wait. It was a waiting place is what this was. It was a place you would go and you'd stay there until the bad weather was over, and then you'd sail some more. Sometimes God puts us in a waiting place in our life, doesn't He? Where we just can't go. And you think, now I remember in Salt Lake City there, before we left, we moved from Salt Lake to Maryland in 2002. And about 1999 or so, it seemed to me like life got really, I won't use the word boring, but almost. It was just routine. We had everything pretty well was taken care of, and we knew what was to be done, and we just went day by day. And I thought to myself, there's not a lot happening right now. Well, that's a lot better than having a lot of trouble. But you also like to see blessings, don't you? And it just seemed kind of still and calm and quiet. And then 2001 came along. Remember 9/11? And 9/11 began a series of earthquakes in our life. The pastor of the church just north of us drowned in Fiji. He was there on a missions trip, and he drowned. And the Lord took him home. His name's Mark Short. Great guy. Died at a young age. And things began to happen. And I can't tell you the whole story, but that week, the pastor of our church had a case of endocarditis, which is swelling in the heart. And all of a sudden, I found myself thrust into being in charge. And then to make matters worse, we had a men's retreat scheduled the Friday after 9/11. I don't know what day of the week that would have been, maybe the 14th or 15th or something. But that Friday, we had a men's retreat. And guess what, folks? Nobody's flying. You're not going anywhere. So the pastor's in the hospital, and a phone call comes by the evangelist who's going to be at the men's retreat. I can't get there. Guess who's in charge? Me. I don't want to be in charge. And that was kind of the way the year began to progress, and what God was doing was getting us ready, because about a year later, we were on the way, and we were on the way to Maryland. But there are times when you're just waiting and you're there, and things may seem quiet. Enjoy those. They won't last forever. Amen? Amen. There'll be some times when the new challenges come. Now, this is good. Look at verse 12. They landed at a place called Syracuse. It's on the southeast portion of Sicily. So if you think of Sicily at the tip of the boot of Italy, and it's kind of a triangular-shaped island, and in the southeast, so it's down there near the tip of the boot. Sicily's a beautiful place. If you ever get a chance to visit it, I encourage it. It's really neat and quiet, and it's just a pretty place. And they're in Sicily, and they get to this place called Syracuse, And what Syracuse is, it had a 14-mile wall around it. It was known to be a place of rest and refreshment. Doesn't God refresh you along the way? Yes. Times of refreshing, the Bible calls it. You know, you go through a trial, and when you're in trials, doesn't it seem like they're going to last forever? It's like, this is never going to end. It's always going to be this way. No, it's not. Think about Job. Job's trial was horrific, and to him it seemed like it was never going to end. And then it did. And what did God do with Job after the trial was over? He blessed him greatly. Amen? If he gave him back everything he had twice over, had new children, new everything. And the point there is, God will send times of refreshing into your life. Count on it. Expect it. It's just going to happen. You're on that journey, and you know you're heading towards something difficult, maybe. But don't miss those times of refreshing. God gives those to you so you can have the strength to keep on going. Enjoy them. And then the question is, what refreshes you in your life? I get refreshed when a soul gets saved. Amen? I get refreshed when a need is met. I get refreshed when people step up and say, I want to serve God, and I want to do so faithfully. That's refreshing, isn't it? Now, here's a clue. You can be refreshing to somebody else, can't you? Dead quiet, I'm worried. Amen? Can't we be refreshing to somebody else? Carlos, is it refreshing to you when folks come out on visitation? Want to refresh Carlos? 5:30, Tuesday night. Carlos is going to be refreshed because some folks are going to come out and help him reach souls for Christ. Mr. Mendez, does it refresh you when folks help out in the schools? Oh, you bet it does. We have had so much substitute staff this year. Mrs. Spencer got sick, and then a lady filled in for a while, and then she got sick, and another lady is filling in right now. And Mr. Mendez is one of the most resourceful men I've ever met in my life. And he's got one more phone call to make and one more pastor to talk to. And I don't even worry about it anymore. Mr. Mendez, I'm going to be on a trip. Find us a speaker. Boom. You know, 5 minutes. I got one, Pastor. And but it's refreshing when someone steps up to help you. Be that refreshment. Amen? Here, they go to this place, and it's just Syracuse is the name I'm using here. And they, you can tell it's refreshing because they stuck around for a while. They tarried there for 3 days. This is comfortable. Let's stay here for a few minutes. God will give you those seasons of comfort in your life, but don't get hung up on that. There is a time to move on because the journey continues. So there are, beside the pending trials, there are places of thanksgiving along the way. Then Regium. They come to Regium. It is on the tip of the boot of Italy. Now, if you are in Sicily, I'm trying to think of the name of the city right now, and it escapes me. But if you're in Sicily, there's a port there, and you can look across the channel, and you can see Italy. And it's a real high mountain there. It's so high that they have run a cable, overhead cable. It's hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air from Italy over to Sicily. I guess a long time ago to carry, you know, telephone traffic or whatever. But you can see Italy from Sicily. It's not very far away. So they leave, and they go across this channel, which you could row across the thing in a couple of hours, I imagine. They go across the channel to this place called Regium. And they, after one day, the south wind blew. And so now there's this comfortable wind. They come to this place called Puteoli. And Puteoli is just west of Naples. Now, if you know anything about Italy geography, Sicily's down at the bottom. Naples is getting up towards Rome. They're moving north now. They're up there near a place that is close to Rome. Places of thanksgiving that God has refreshed them in. But now, look what happens at Puteoli. We found, verse 14, we found brethren. There are pending trials as we travel down life's road. There are places of thanksgiving. There are people with a testimony. Isn't it good to meet a Christian? You're in the hospital, and you find out your nurse is saved, or you get a job and you find out that your coworker is saved. I was sitting in my desk reading my Bible at lunch one day in Texas before I was in the ministry, and this guy, he comes walking down the hall and looks in my office and sees me reading my Bible, and he says, "I knew you were a Christian." He said, "I'm a Christian too." And he worked in the parts department for the service team. And he said, "And there's another Christian here." And this other girl that was a sales, she sold contracts for service. She was a Christian as well. There were three Christians working in this one office. That's great. Before that, I had worked in Salt Lake City with a bunch of Mormons. It's nice to be around some Christians. But folks, there's some other people out there just like us. There's churches out there just like us. Tomorrow in Clinton, Maryland, they're already going there, I'm sure, today. They'll travel tomorrow, perhaps, in Clinton, Maryland. Hundreds, perhaps over 1,000 pastors from churches just like ours are going to show up there, and they're going to try to make a difference in influence our government for Christ. It's nice to know you're not alone. You're not alone. God will put those people in your path. Have you thought about that? In your path. Well, I can use Carlos as an illustration here. God brought Carlos into my path. Now, there have been a lot of people in my path. Mr. Mendez, Mr. Dahlman, and I can't name everyone here. But God put us together. Amen? And isn't that neat? God's got other people down your path. You haven't met them yet. But as you go through life, you're going to come to places, and you're going to find people with a testimony that they've been saved just like you've been saved. And isn't that refreshing? Amen. That's one of the things God does to comfort us and to strengthen us as we go along our journey. It's nice to know you're not alone. You're never alone because Christ is with you, but you're never alone also because Christ will put people in your life that have a testimony for Christ. And that's what happens here. It says, they met brethren. Let's see what happens here. And were desired to tarry with them 7 days. Now that's interesting. Paul is traveling under arrest. He has being accompanied by Roman soldiers. And he comes across, apparently, a group of Christians. And they said, "Hey, stay here for 7 days." And it almost sounds like the soldiers said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" But you know who did that? God did that. And they got to spend some time with their brethren. There will be times when there are no Christians around. We were on a missions trip in Thailand one time. And we left Bangkok. And we rode 12 hours on a train up to a place called Chiang Mai, which is way north in Thailand. And then we got in a rented van. And we drove another 4 hours way up in the northern Thailand to a place called Chiang Rai, where there are people there called Akha Indians. It's really beautiful. You can't imagine the landscape. The hills look like gumdrops. They're just pointed, and there's bunches of them. And this guy, I told you about him before, John Pantowit. He's, I guess, close to 30 years old. He's an Akha Indian. He speaks Akha, Laho, English, Thai, and Chinese. Plays the guitar, preaches, amazing man, a genius. And he would ride his little motorcycle up and down those hills to go up into the villages to work with the churches they had started up there. And of all the places in the world, but we knew where these folks were, but between Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai, we're on about a 3-hour trip. And if you ever visit Thailand, one thing you notice is there's no Christian influence at all. You never see a church. You see temples, Buddhist temple, Buddhist temple, Buddhist temple. And you're driving down the road, and it's a Sunday afternoon, maybe a Saturday afternoon, I can't remember. We're driving down the road, and we came to this house, and it was a kind of a makeshift restaurant, and we're going to stop and eat. And we wanted to use the restroom, and it's a house, and so the lady says, "Yeah, just go through the living room there. The restroom's in the back." And so I'm walking through, and I look up, and on the wall, there's a Catholic picture of Jesus. And I thought, Christians here? This is great. And when a Catholic picture of Jesus gets you excited, you know you're pretty far over. But I thought, at least somebody here knows about Jesus. Amen? Because sometimes it feels like nobody does, doesn't it? So, you know, again, God's going to put some folks in your life that have a testimony to encourage you. But once again, he's going to put you in somebody else's life to encourage them. And so be out there so folks can tell what you are. Don't be an undercover Christian. God doesn't need undercover agents. Let folks know you're saved. And I'm sitting there reading my Bible at my desk. The fellow says, "You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. She's a Christian." It just changes everything. having the brethren there that they met there in Puteoli. Stayed 7 days. They went towards Rome, verse 15. From thence they heard, when the brethren heard of us, this is interesting, some more brethren here, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns. Appii Forum is about 40 miles south of Rome. And there was a law in that day that all roads had to lead to Rome. And so Rome's like a wagon wheel. It's the center of spokes and going out, and all the roads are the spokes. And one of those is this particular road, and I forgot the name of it. Something way, I can't remember. But in this road, there's this place called the Appii Forum. And the Christians in Rome heard Paul was coming. They went to meet him. I heard a great message maybe 20 or more years ago on the doctrine of escorting missionaries. And the doctrine was, you and I should be extra vigilant to meet the needs of the missionaries and encourage them. And when they come to visit us, folks, be so hospitable. To feed them, house them, buy them gas, do whatever you need to do to be a blessing to them. That's the way it works. That's how we keep on going. These folks in Rome said, Paul's coming, let's go escort him. Now, you can imagine the picture. It's just easy to see. Paul, they're going down the road. I presume they're on foot, but they may have been on animals, but they're going down the road. It's Paul, some soldiers, some other prisoners maybe. They're walking down the road. It's hot. They're tired. And they look up and they see down the road down there some people coming. And that's interesting. I wonder who those folks are. And they keep on walking down the road and they're looking up and the folks are getting closer. And then those folks come face to face with them and they say, is this Paul? We came to meet him. That makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it? Somebody cared enough to come meet me. And folks, be that way, or sometimes God might do that with you. You're in the hospital and someone comes to visit you, or you have a need and someone comforts you or whatever. And then when someone else is in the hospital or has a need, be there to comfort them. So they were deliberate about this. All right, pending trials. Places of thanksgiving, people with a testimony, and then finally, verse 16, and we'll be done. There was priority treatment along the way. Now, in verse 16, they finally come to Rome. It's not time for the trial yet. That's going to happen a little later on. The centurion delivered the prisoners, and so we know he's been traveling with some other fellows that were incarcerated as well, to the captain of the guard. I like that next word, but. Paul was suffered or allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now let me ask you this. Who put that together? God, amen? God will do little things in your life to show you that you're special to him. He'll just do a little something. You'll see him do that to other people. But he'll just do something, give them some, I'm calling this priority treatment here. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to be rich or that you're going to have everything you want. And the truth is, most of the stuff we want, we really don't need and shouldn't have. But I am telling you this. God's got a treat for you every now and then. Priority treatment. A little something special. Rather than being in the common jail with all the other fellows, Paul's going to get to be by himself with a soldier. And don't you think, it was more than one soldier because these fellows are coming and going. I'll bet you he led some of those fellows to Christ. I'll bet you you're going to meet some of those fellows in heaven. You're going to meet somebody on the streets of heaven and you're going to say, hi, I'm so-and-so. I lived in Arizona in the 2000s. And he's going to say, well, if it wasn't for the Lord telling me, I wouldn't have a clue what Arizona is, but I was one of Paul's prisoners or guards. I was one of Paul's guards and he led me to the Lord. There's two things going on here. One of them is this. God gave Paul priority treatment so that Paul could keep on serving God. Right. Folks, when God meets your need in a great way, does something for you you need, he does it for a reason. Everything, do all to the glory of God, the Bible says. Amen. Everything God does is to enable you to glorify him and to serve him. Don't take it for yourself. Oh, I got a bunch of money. I'm going to take a great vacation. Hey, if you can afford a great vacation and God gives you one, that's great. But I'm just saying, don't make everything about you. Make sure things are about God. Because God's going to take care of you and give you some priority treatment. I think it's a simple, simple, simple thing. But I've heard people recently tell stories about needs being met. situations where something was needed and God provided. Sometimes a church member provided. Sometimes just God provided. God does that. He gives us priority treatment along the way. So here we go. Our journey is not that long. Paul's journey all together here after they left Malta, a few weeks perhaps. And you got to remember this. Isn't our life short? It's like a vapor. I was listening to this number of years Bob Larson's been in the ministry, and I thought to myself, you know, it might not seem like it, but when you've been serving God for 20 or 30 years, you look back and it seems like a very short period of time. You've been serving God for however many years, it's just, when you look back on it, it's just like that and it's gone. The trials, all the trials that we've been through, we've been through trials. And you look back and you go, I've almost forgotten about that. I'd almost forgotten those painful times. I mentioned to you, God built us that way to remember the good things and to forget the bad ones. And I'm just thinking, my dad, for example, he'd tell stories about his childhood. He was poor. But he wouldn't talk about that. He'd talk about the things that were pleasant, the things that God did that were pleasing, and, you know, how he got saved and so on. So life's short, folks. And then eternity's forever. We're all going to be together for all eternity with the Lord and all those folks that have gone before us. It never will end. No sickness, no sadness, no pain. You know the rote there. It's going to be exciting. All along the way, but in the meantime, all along the way, God sends blessings to us that he knows that we need. Don't miss them by looking at the trouble. Enjoy what God's doing today. Enjoy what God blesses you with tomorrow. Amen? The trouble's going to be there either way. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to see it. When you get to the trouble, God's going to take care of things. So what were you worried about? Just enjoy what God's doing right now. Isn't it good to be in God's will? Most of all, not just places like Syracuse or Regium, not just situations like being able to be by yourself. Most of all, God provides other people for us along the way. And he provides us to other people. And that's the exciting thing here, is all these different times when he's meeting these brethren that are there to care for him. They care for him, they go with him, they give him courage. And then, as you see, once again, finally in verse 16, throughout all of it, God's in control of the situation. If God asks you to go through a trial, if God asks you to allows you to be persecuted or allows you to go through some opposition, I just know something. That's what Christ did for us. There have been times, one of the most painful things in your life is going to be when people reject you. People that you tried to help, people that you prayed for, people that you ministered to, people that you poured your life into them, and there will be times when they reject you. And when that happens, at first, you'll start asking questions. Well, why did that happen? And that's not fair. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. What does the Bible say about Jesus? He was despised and rejected. When you face those kind of things, just remember, you're doing the same thing Christ did. It's the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Amen? Life is not easy. That's a real simple statement that's got a lot behind it. Life is not easy, but God makes life not just bearable, but pleasant if you'll just take those things that God's doing in the midst of the trials and let them encourage you and strengthen you and get you to the next step. Amen? Do not have despair. I told you, just quickly to close, just to remind you, got a phone call one day in Maryland. Phyllis says, we're going to sue your church for $500,000 because the former pastor did something wrong. And we were trying to get a building program going, and I was just thinking to myself, yep, if this falls into place, we will not build a building because the media will get a hold of this and the bank will decline to offer us to help, and that'll be the end of the whole thing. But you're just as safe when the enemy is just outside the gate as you are when the enemy is 500 miles away Because your safety does not depend on where the enemy is. Your safety depends on God. And you know what? I can look back on that situation, and I've told you this story. I was riding down the road in a rattle trap mini Toyota pickup truck with Ralph, my friend that I used to tell you to weep on the back of the pews. And we're riding back from camp on a, must have been a Friday afternoon late. I remember it was kind of starting to get dark. And we're driving down a Pennsylvania turnpike in Ralph's rattle trap Toyota pickup truck. And my cell phone rings, and I can barely hear it over the noise his truck is making, the racket this truck makes. And I'm trying to listen to the phone, turned up all the way, and hello? And it's an attorney. And the attorney says, "Pastor, the suit has been closed. It has been settled. Everything's taken care of." Praise the Lord! That's the way God works, amen? You know, that was a great moment. Leading up to that, not so great. Getting the phone call from the attorney threatening to sue us, not so great. Going through all the situation to come from the beginning to the end, not so great. But then God took care of it. And you say to yourself, "Yeah, I knew God was going to do that." Then why were you so worried? Amen? God strengthened you along the way. He's blessing you. Live one day at a time. Don't worry about it. Take no thought for tomorrow. God's going to bless you today. He's going to send people to you today. He's going to take care of your situation today and tomorrow and the next day. And then one day, you're going to close your eyes, open them back up, and see the Lord Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. Amen? And then you're going to think, you know, why was I so worried about my... why was I so in such despair? I should have trusted God more. Well, instead of learning that then, let's learn it right now. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.